In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can't control Jesus. And you're probably thinking, I don't want to. However, learn about yourself in the crowds. Learn about yourself in the actions and words of St. Philip and St. Andrew. The crowds are following Jesus because they have seen the miraculous signs that he had done. With Jesus present, everything goes well. No one is sick. No one is injured. No one suffers demon possession. No one is even hungry. Jesus makes all things good. And so they think they can control Jesus by making him a king by force. Then their lives would be exactly as they dreamed. They don't think they need a Passover lamb. They don't think they need blood, cross, atonement, or death. They are fine without forgiveness, life, and salvation, so long as Jesus is willing to help them here and now with a little miracle, a little help to keep their life on the right track. The crowds want to control Jesus. On the other side, you have Philip and Andrew. They don't think Jesus can help. They see the 5 loaves, they see the 2 fish, and they don't know how that little can feed so many. 200 denarii is not enough. So like Israel in the desert, they accuse God of being a God of death. A God who doesn't want to help his people for whatever reason. Israel complained that God led them out into the wilderness so they might die of starvation. So in their mind, either you die in Egypt with a full belly or you die in the wilderness with an empty belly. Either you die from heart disease, or you die from cancer, or you die from old age. Either way, you're going to die. So you might as well enjoy this life on earth. Jesus won't help. Jesus won't return anytime soon. We will die first. Jesus won't save. He won't protect. He won't lead and guide. So it is up to Philip and Andrew to figure out the problem. Philip and Andrew want to control God by limiting him. Both are wrong, of course. But our fallen flesh desires the same. We follow Jesus and expect that he will make our lives better than what they are right now. Oh, we know there are bumps and hiccups along the way, but we expect that at the end of the day, we can at least put our head down on our pillow and sleep well. We expect that at the end of the week, the month, the year, or maybe 2 years, everything reverts back to normal. We've heard his stories in the Bible. We've heard the miracles and seen the glory of Christ in those sacred scriptures. He does all things well. So it's very tempting for us to follow Jesus and expect him to make our lives better right now so we can see it in some tangible way. We too think we can control Jesus. But if you follow Jesus simply because he can do everything, then you will be disappointed because that's not what you see in your life. And you will end up on the other side with Philip and Andrew and expect Jesus to do nothing. No manna in your backyard. You have to go and shop. And then you have to work to make the money so you can buy your food. No instant healing, no miracles for your body. You have to go to a doctor, and one doctor visit often leads to a myriad of specialists. No increasing of strength or energy, but a gradual slowing down. One task is replaced by 2. One problem with 3. We want just one day where everything goes according to our plans, and we wonder how we can manipulate the day to make it good. Because we don't think that Jesus can help. We don't think Jesus will help. We don't think he is leading us, guiding us, protecting us, caring for us. He's somewhere up there, distant and aloof and silent from us. And so it's up to us to navigate life. It's up to us to plan the doctor visits. It's up to us to make a living for ourselves. It's up to us to figure out our future. So it's very easy for us to want to control Jesus as well by limiting him. Both are wrong. You can't control Jesus by limiting him. You can't control Jesus by expecting him to do certain things for you in this life. The crowds, Philip and Andrew, and us, they forgot that little phrase that St. John inserted. The Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. This is more than simply a historical marker. This is revealing who Jesus is and why he came. He is the Passover. The lamb in Egypt was simply a shadow. Christ is the reality. He is the Passover, the perfect, holy Lamb of God without stain or blemish. He is the one who suffered the fires of God's wrath in our place. It is his blood that sets us free from sin, death, and Satan. It is his flesh that we eat. He is also the manna that feeds us, the rock whose side opens up so that we might drink waters of life. He is the pillar of cloud and fire who leads and guides us through baptism into a wilderness and finally to the promised land of heaven. Christ is the Passover. Israel ate this lamb in haste, their belts fastened, sandals on their feet, staff in their hand, ready to go. Yet look at how you eat this Passover. He meticulously prepares for you a feast in the presence of your enemies and bids you to eat and rest and find refreshment for body and soul. Refreshment in the midst of a wilderness. Joy in the midst of sadness. Peace in the midst of chaos. Control in the midst of confusion. Comfort in the midst of unclarity. And clarity in the midst of our own plans. There is a reason why these pyramids are rose today, and it's not because we like the color. The idea being that you pull black out of purple and you get rose. Whether that's true or not is irrelevant. The point is, it highlights the joy that we have at all times. Lent is not a season of sadness or tears. Lent is a season of joy. Your life is not a season, whether young, middle-aged, or elderly. Your life is not one of sadness and tears and sorrow. Your life is one of joy and refreshment and peace. For you are united with Christ, the Passover Lamb, who has atoned for your every sin. The Lord is providing for you. Maybe not in the way that you had thought he would. But he is providing for you in the way that he knows is best. He will always be the Passover lamb. You always sin, therefore you always take this remedy. You live in a fallen world, therefore you go to him who has redeemed you out of this world. He is leading you, guiding you, protecting you, helping you, saving you, and giving you life here at the altar. For he is the Passover lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You don't want to control Jesus because you would not be as kind, as loving, as generous, as good, as helpful, or as salvific as he. Week after week, here he is. Twice a week in Lent. Week after week, he speaks his word over bread. It is his body. Take and eat for the forgiveness of your sins. This is who Jesus is. The Passover Lamb who redeems you from far more than simply a cold, broken bones, or old age. Israel ate manna in the wilderness. They died. Miraculous food could not keep them alive. The 5,000 ate miraculous bread. They also died. You eat miraculous bread at this altar, and you live. For this bread is his flesh, which he has given for the life of the world. This is how he rules, protects, and guides you. At this altar, he helps you, cares for you, and gives you life and joy eternal. Our God is not a God of death, but he is a God of life, for he is the Passover lamb who has set us free. So your future is not one of death, but it's one of life. It's not a grave, but it's walking the streets of heaven. It's not burial, but it's a glorious, powerful, immortal, spiritual body, for you have eaten his body, which lives and reigns to all eternity. Life is not breathing air. Life is union with Christ through faith. Life is immortality. Life is holiness and righteousness and perfection. Life is joy. Life is peace with God and peace with all creation. Life is not simply for your soul. Life is for your body. This is why Christ came and why he was lifted up, so that he might give you this life. So do not try to control God. Let him be God. Do not limit him, and do not expect him to simply help you in this life. Let God be the one who is in control of life. Many Christians say that God is in control of my life, but understand what that means. It means that he is the Passover lamb. So whatever he sends, whether good or bad, you respond, thanks be to God. And whatever he sends, be it good or bad, to your eyes, it leads you back to this altar. It leads you back to the manna from heaven, back to the bread of life, back to him who is life, back to the Passover lamb, who gave his life for you and now gives himself to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.